Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 2. If you don't have your Bibles with you this morning, you can look in the middle of our bulletins and you'll see the passage of Scripture that we're going to be talking about. Matthew chapter 2. We're going to start reading in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 2. Okay, the Bible says, "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord out of the prophet, through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, 'A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. Now, when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead.' Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, 'He shall be called a Nazarene.'" We see here the picture of what happened after Jesus was born. You know, oftentimes we think of Christmas and we have pleasant thoughts about Christmas, and we think about the peace that comes because Jesus Christ is our Savior and He was born, and all this is true. But I want us to understand something. Evil does not take a holiday. Evil doesn't take a Christmas break. Evil persisted even after Jesus was born. And because of evil, we need the Lord. Because of evil, we need His protection. And I think we need to understand that. You know, Christmas isn't always a rosy, wonderful time. I read this correspondence. It's a fictional correspondence, Christmas correspondence, between Martha Stewart and Irma Bombeck. And this kind of reminds us that Christmas isn't always a wonderful, pleasant event. It says, this is Martha writing to Irma. "Hi, Irma. This perfectly delightful note is being sent on paper I made myself to tell you what I have been up to. Since it snowed last night, I got up early and made a sled with old barn wood and a glue gun. I had painted it in gold leaf, got out my loom and made a blanket in peaches and mauves. Now it's time to start making the placemats and napkins for my 20 breakfast guests. I'm serving the old standard Steward 12-course breakfast. But I didn't have time to make the tables and chairs this morning, so I used the ones I already had. I did take time to make the dishes to use for breakfast from Hungarian clay, which you can get at almost any Hungarian craft store. Well, I must run. I need to finish the buttonholes on the dress I'm wearing for breakfast. I'll get out the sled and drive this note to the post office as soon as the glue dries on the envelope I'll be making. Love, Martha Stewart." Isn't that wonderful? Ladies, don't you? You always have time to do all those things, don't you? Here's what Irma wrote back to Martha. I'm writing this on the back of an old shopping list. Pay no attention to the coffee and jelly stains. I'm 20 minutes late getting my daughter up for school, packing a lunch with one hand, on the phone with the dog pound. Seems old Ruff needs bailing out again. Burnt my arm on the curling iron when I was trying to make those cute curly fries. Still can't find the scissors to cut out some snowflakes. Tried an old disposable razor, trashed the tablecloth. Tried that cranberry thing, frozen cranberries mushed up after I defrosted them in the microwave. Oh, and don't use Fruity Pebbles as a substitute for Rice Krispie Snowballs. It makes a green shade that is nasty looking. The smoke alarm is going off, so I'll have to talk to you later. Love, Irma. See, that's more realistic, isn't it? That's kind of more like what Christmas is like sometimes, isn't it? It can be full of hassles, problems, difficulties. It can be difficult. And it's not a perfect picture like Martha Stewart and others would like us to think it would be. But anyways, this shows us, this passage of Scripture shows us that in the face of difficulties, in the face of trials, Christmas still means something. It still means something. It is still worth our valuing. It's still worth us focusing on. Because even though there are hassles for Mary and Joseph after Christmas, during Christmas, we can see that we will face difficulties and trials during Christmas and after Christmas. What I'd like us to focus on is the fact that because there's evil in the world, we're going to have difficulties. We're going to have trials. But I want us to also know that because of evil, we can rely on God. And there's some things that we can rely on God here that I want us to look at. First of all, we need God's protection because of the presence of evil. Notice what it says in verse 13. It says, now when they had departed, behold, now they are the wise men. The wise men have just come, given them some presents, given them some gifts, and were given some stuff that's really worth some money. It was more like currency that they were given as well. Now, understand something. I don't know how it is at your house, but when I get money, extra money, I say, okay, what's next? Amen? What's coming next? Is the car going to break down? Am I going to need this money for something other than, you know, just putting it in the bank and earning interest? Most of the time, right, something, God gives that money for a reason, right? That's exactly what we see here with the money that Joseph and Mary was given here by the wise men. They were going to be taking a trip. They were going to be taking an unexpected trip, but they were going to be taking a trip, and God knew that they would need money for that trip. He knew that they would need money for that stay. So what did he do? He provided it before they even left on the trip, before he even told them about the trip. And so just think about this for a minute. They're just given all this. It was very difficult for them to even come down to Bethlehem because Mary was pregnant, great with child, right? And then they get down there, no place for them to stay. So they've got to stay in a barn, okay? They've got to stay in this barn. And then they're there for a while. The baby's there, the wise men come, and the wise men give them some gifts. And they're thinking, okay, maybe things are going to work out. Maybe things are going to finally settle down for us. We'll be able to settle down in Bethlehem. We've got a little cash in the bank now, and we'll be all set. Well, what happens? God says, okay, you're going to have to leave because Herod is going to try and kill your baby. Now, if I'm Joseph and I'm told that, I'm thinking, God, why can't you just kill Herod right now? Why can't you just eliminate my problem right now? Just eliminate it. Give him a heart attack, whatever, right? Isn't that how you would think? But that's not how it worked out. But I want you to notice that Joseph, in his response to God telling him that he needed to go to Egypt, he obeyed it. He obeyed that request from God. He obeyed in obedience. Obedience to Jesus, obedience to God, is where the umbrella of protection comes. Understand something. When you obey God, when you do what he says, in spite of the hassles, there's an umbrella of protection that is over you. It's God's protection. When you stay underneath that protection in obedience to God's will, no matter the trials you face or the troubles you find, you can rely on God to protect you and help you through those difficulties. That's what we have in God. That's what makes Christmas so wonderful, that we have a God who is our helper and a God who is our guide and our protector. We read in John 14, verses 25 and 26 this morning in our Sunday school class with the kids. We had a wonderful Sunday school class. I love the material we're using there, and it's a great class. And the kids were able to see that Jesus said, when I go, I'm going to send you a helper. A helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. And he will protect us and help us. This is exactly what we see in Joseph. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, came to Joseph in a dream and said, hey, you're going to have to get out of Bethlehem. You're going to have to go to Egypt, so I can protect you. And if you'll do what I say, if you'll do God's will, then you will be protected. I will help you and I will protect you. That is what we have in the Lord Jesus. We have his protection. And if we will do like Joseph did and obey him, he will protect us. He will help us. And I know that hassles can come, but we need to remember that God will help us. Struggles come, but God will protect us. Evil is around us, but God will protect us from that evil if we will simply obey him. He will. He is our helper. He is our guide. Look at verses 16 through 18. It says, then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all in all the districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Now, I want you to understand something. Because of the presence of evil, we need God's comfort and help. We need his comfort. I can't even imagine what it must have been like for those families as the soldiers came through Jerusalem and the surrounding areas. This prophecy, we read in the prophecy, the voice was heard in Ramah. And Rachel weeping for her children. This Ramah was 5 miles north of Jerusalem, and the city of Rachel was 5 miles south. Bethlehem was 5 miles south of Jerusalem. So it was like Herod had drawn a 5 mile radius around the city of Jerusalem, and commanded that all the sons 2 years and younger be murdered. And so this is what happened. I can't even imagine as the soldiers come through the city and the surrounding areas, and they gather up the families, and then they weed out the families' children, and they look for the children that meet this requirement of 2 years old and younger, and they slay those children before the parents' eyes. I can imagine that some of the parents were resisting this so much that they themselves were killed as well. Not what we want to think of during Christmas time. But you know what? There's a lot of unpleasant things that we have to deal with during Christmas time. There's a lot of evil still in the world, even during Christmas time. And there's a lot of heartache that comes and hurt that comes during Christmas time. I want you to know something. God promises His comfort to all of us who will seek it. God promises His comfort. Now, I can't even imagine how it must have felt for those parents as they watched their son be killed. I can imagine that they were saying, "Why, God? Why, God? Why would You allow this to happen?" And don't we often say to ourselves, "Why? Why, God? Why are You allowing this to happen?" You know, there's not many times where God answers the why. There's really not. There's not a lot of times when He answers the why. You know, I don't understand why God allows a mom or a dad to pass away right around Christmas time. Or a young mom or a young dad to pass away with small children. I have asked God, why? Why does that happen? And you know what? I don't really get a direct answer. But here's what I do know. I know who God is. And I know that He has a plan and purpose for everything that happens. He reveals that to us here a little bit. He reveals that He has a plan by exposing the prophecies. As He describes all these things that are happening, He interjects the prophecies that are being fulfilled as we see this whole scenario play out, don't we? That's because God has a plan. He understands that evil exists, but He's not going to let evil stop Him from His ultimate plan. And His ultimate plan is that you would know the peace and joy of His Son, Jesus Christ. In spite of the evil, that you would know Him, that you would know His peace, that you would have fullness of joy in your heart. Now that is what God has in plan. Yes, He sees the evil, but guess what? Someday the evil will end. That's why the prophecies are being fulfilled. So it can culminate with the end of evil. That's what brings us hope during Christmas. Not that evil is done away with right now, but that someday it will be, because Jesus Christ was born and He was protected from evil. He was protected from evil. He will comfort us when evil affects us. Understand, the Bible never promises that we won't have any problems as Christians. As a matter of fact, it says the exact opposite. The Bible says in John 16:33 that in this world you shall have trials, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In Me you may have peace. That's what we've got with the Lord Jesus. I hope you'll trust Him as your Savior. I hope you'll find comfort in Him and who He is and the plan that He has in spite of the evil that you face. Then I want you to finally see in verses 19 through 23, it says, "Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, and he shall be called a Nazarene. Finally, I want you to understand that we can rely on God's guidance, even though evil exists. As a matter of fact, we need God's guidance because evil exists. I want you to understand something about this passage of Scripture. All the protection and guidance that was given to Joseph and Mary and Jesus was for a reason. And that reason was so that we could have hope. So that we could have hope. You see, Jesus didn't die in Bethlehem at 2 years old because that wasn't his appointed time to die. There was coming a time when he would die, and that purpose that God had for him would be fulfilled. And that's what we need to remember. There is a time that we can look at where Jesus did die, but that's where our hope is. John 13:1 says, Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, Jesus didn't die in Bethlehem as a baby because his hour had not come. His hour had not come. All those prophecies about Jesus coming had to be fulfilled before his hour had come, so that it would show that through Jesus, God was working his plan so that we could have hope in the face of evil. He guided Joseph all through this situation, through going to Bethlehem, through leaving Bethlehem, going to Egypt, through coming back into the land of Judea, and then finally settling down in Galilee. All this was guided by God's Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter that God has promised to all who would trust in him. And because of that, God's ultimate plan was all worked out. You know what? God has a plan for your life. He has an ultimate plan for your life. He wants to guide you along in this life. In spite of the hardships that you face, he wants to be your protection. He wants to be your comfort. He wants to be your guide. If you will trust in him as your Savior, if you will trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and for your guidance and your comforter, he will. He will guide you. He promised he would. And he will guide you to his ultimate purpose for you. That ultimate purpose is that you would have fullness of joy, that you would have peace, and that you would have eternal life. That's what Jesus offers you. That's what Christmas is about. Christmas is a wonderful time in spite of the evil that we face. I pray that as you face the difficulties during this Christmas time, that you would remember the hope that you have in Jesus Christ.